A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Stephen A. Smith from ESPN, and you're listening to Complex Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Complex Sports Podcast. On this week's episode, we have a very special interview with Stephen A. Smith talking about his new show, his life at ESPN, Rise in Media, Kyrie Irving and the Nets, and much more. Before that, we talk about the Browns' big playoff win, the NFL wildcard weekend, and some other sports stuff. So let's get to this week's episode of the Complex Sports Podcast.
All right, guys. How's it going? It's Kelvin from Orange County. Happy New Year. All right, look. We got to give Chops his credit. We got to give credit where credit is due. His team did it.
Woo.
I don't want to hear him talk about it, but hey, props to him.
But I
Zion, Adam, we can't complain about this one, boys. I'm sorry. And now Juju's just going to be TikToking in Cancun, I guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of the Complex Sports Podcast. It's your man, Chops. As always, I'm joined with Zion and Adam Caporel. Fellas, I think that call perfectly summed it up. How are we doing this week?
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to Zion. Happy birthday to Zion.
Who wishes themselves a happy birthday?
Nah, because y'all weren't going to do it because we're recording a day early, so I had to remind you.
That's incredibly lame, pal. Incredibly lame.
Nah.
I was going to do it. I was going to do it.
No, it's incredibly lame to wish yourself a happy birthday. So congrats.
Just
on being
because you don't have lame friends, don't get mad at me, okay? All right.
I could anyway. See Adam like I could see like Adam hating birthdays. Like you just ignore
he does.
Your own birthday.
When I remember when we were in the office, I wished Adam happy birthday because I was a day late and he just didn't tell anybody. He was like, "Oh, I don't really care."
Yeah,
he would say thank you.
I don't really acknowledge him now.
Zion, said, when you get up to that many of them, it's like
you lose track.
You
know. Exactly, yeah.
Fellas, could we have started this episode with a better call? Shout out to Zion. Who was the name of the caller?
Kelvin, I think. Kelvin.
Kelvin.
Yeah, repeat caller. So shouts to calling back on the hotline.
Thank you for him. Could we, guys? I'm just filled with so much joy right now. So much joy.
You know what kills me is that you come in puffing your chest after these wins. When you acting like you weren't crapping your pants last night when you were up 35-0, like you were on the timeline, like panicking.
Yeah, if Mike Tomlin had made a god awful decision not to go for it on 4th-and-1, yeah, you would have been certified shitting your pants.
Life as a Browns fan, it's never over until it's over. But you know what? It's over and we won. So
also, I hope you send a bottle of champagne to Ben Roethlisberger, who was in on the fix, throwing four interceptions.
Adam, you're such a predictable.
I don't give a shit. We're tweaking you. We're tweaking you, pal. We're tweaking you over. That's you have Browns
no,
won.
You're so predictable.
You moved on. But we're tweaking you, pal.
You guys were wrong about the Browns. You were wrong about Baker Mayfield. You were wrong about Kevin.
What did Baker do last? What did Baker do on Sunday?
Baker didn't throw for 260 and three touchdowns last night.
I was wrong about the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's who I was wrong about. Because
the Browns did nothing last night. The Browns,
bro, they gave you a touchdown to start the game.
Thank you. You guys realize?
I am not discrediting the Browns.
You guys realize the Browns practiced once this in 2 weeks, right?
That is a great win. You guys outplayed them. You were the better
Thank
team.
You. Yeah,
but
Thank
they
you.
Gifted you a touchdown to start the game. Out the
thank
gate.
You.
So,
thank you.
And Ben Roethlisberger gifted you four extra possessions, too. But the Browns do deserve credit for not practicing, not having their head coach, having guys on the offensive line.
They deserve credit for winning the game.
I'm giving you guys credit. We relax, pal.
Yeah,
I'm giving you credit.
We try to give him credit. And
yeah.
Say, no.
I know, and you're interrupting me. I'm giving the Browns credit for the first time in my goddamn life. Like, fall back for 1 second. So they do deserve credit for that victory. It's impressive. The Steelers did everything in their fucking power to give their division rival a victory. But the bottom line is, Browns won. I picked against them. Props to them. They're moving on to the Chiefs. Season ends next weekend, but enjoy the victory for right now.
Oh, you had to get that one in there. You know, here's my game shout-outs for the game. Here's my game shout-outs. Number one, Juju Smith-Schuster, thank you. This is the Browns. Thank you. Just all what they didn't need any more motivation. The Browns didn't. They were down their head coach, all that. He just decided to say that. Thank you very much.
Once he said that, that was kind of like, I was like, oh man, that always comes, when people say stuff like that, it never works out in their favor.
Never. It never works out, especially Juju, who's been stuffing his foot in his mouth all season. Like, you knew it was going to happen. So Juju's going to have a long summer of TikToking. Have fun. Again, Adam, I will bring it up. As you said, Mike Tomlin, thank you. Thank you for being a straight-up coward and not going for it on 4th-and-1 on your own 46. I thought Mike Vrabel had the worst decision of the weekend, not going for it in the Ravens game. Mike Tomlin took the cake.
I want a 30-for-30 on that decision because that was beyond egregious. How do you punt the ball in that situation and just totally kill all momentum for your team? It's mind-boggling.
Here's the thing. They punted it into the end zone.
I know.
Well, it was a touchback.
They nearly missed, down it by the one by a foot or two, whatever.
Still, they punted it into the end zone. Right. And then you know what happened? Baker put on his big boy pants and he went and scored a touchdown. That's what he did.
All right. I'm giving the Browns credit. Let's not go crazy with the Baker praise because they did it mostly with the run game and a lot of yards after the catch situation.
Baker did his job yesterday.
But he did his job.
You know what's funny, Adam? You know why the NFL is funny and football is funny?
Why?
Who are the two teams that the Jets beat this season?
The Rams and the Browns, who have advanced into the semifinals.
Both of those teams just won playoff games.
And what does it get the Jets? Nothing.
It got them Justin Fields. So well, that's
still there's still a lot of machinations before we get to that decision. But
what? So other, I would say the Browns was the most. Also, we have Stephen A. Smith on this episode. Really fun interview coming up a little bit later. We're gonna talk some more football though before we get to that.
Oh, you had your celebration. It's time for me to celebrate. Lamar Jackson, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Lamar Jackson. What did I tell y'all? That was a revenge game. He took that game personal. The Ravens took that personal. And now they don't even have to play the Chiefs.
He took advantage with his superior talent against a shitty defense, and he took care of business.
I'm going to stop you there. I don't think that the Titans defense didn't lose him that game. The Titans defense played okay. Vrabel and Arthur Smith in that offense, some of the worst play calling. Whoever hires Arthur Smith as their head coach, Adam Praise.
Well, the Jets just interviewed him, so.
So he'll probably get hired by the Jets. The first down runs by Derrick Henry, they kept running it on first down with Derrick Henry when everybody saw it coming. It was just idiotic game plan. I got to give props to Lamar. I got to give props to Lamar because it started shaky. Zion, you can't tell me you weren't nervous when he threw that pick.
I was worried, but I knew.
Because you were like, fuck, we're going down the same road.
Once they got the stop after their field goal, I was like, okay, yeah, the Ravens are going to take momentum.
And then he had the big play. He had the 3rd-and-7 where he scrambled and he hit the guy. And it was from there, it was all gravy.
Man,
it wasn't
so
close.
Happy.
And here, we're going to do the picks, but I like Baltimore and
yeah, that's what I was saying. Like
we're gonna do our picks, but I like Buffalo.
Yeah,
like
we'll
Baltimore.
Do our picks later in the week. But thank the Browns for winning because they don't have to go to Kansas City now, and now we could be looking at the Ravens in the AFC Championship game.
We Ravens Browns rematch AFC title game. I agree
you said
with you.
Ravens Browns. Oh man.
What was the most surprising thing for you guys this weekend? I mean, I take out the Browns because I think the Browns was the biggest upset. But did you guys have another big surprise this weekend?
Yes. How brutal the replay officials are. Did they get one goddamn replay call correct the entire weekend?
Correct. Yeah, they got them all correct.
The really big ones, they continually seem to fuck up. So congratulations to the NFL. Your replay continues to be an absolute disaster.
I thought they were fine. The Bills game, the one dude was in. And it looked like he was out, and he was in. That was fine. How about that
egregious non-fumble call that should have ended the game?
Oh, I mean, they fucked that up.
They messed it up, but it still didn't affect
it. It still worked out. But
I mean, it worked out, yes. But
if the Bills would have lost, Buffalo would have rioted.
You gave the Colts 4 extra plays like that. Yeah, they should have rioted.
Yeah. I mean, your man, Phillip Rivers, it looked like he was throwing a brick from the pocket.
Listen, the only quarterback who looked worse was Ben Roethlisberger, who looked fucking ancient.
Both should retire. That should be the end of both of their careers.
Jesus Christ. That one duck he threw when
Russell Wilson was the worst.
Ben had 4 interceptions, pal. Okay. 4 interceptions and was throwing ducks.
400 yards?
I mean, the Browns defense isn't very good.
Yeah,
I mean,
he had to. Other than Ben throwing rifles from 3 yards out of the end zone, everything was a wobbly duck the entire night.
I think Russell Wilson's performance was my biggest surprise of the weekend, other than the Browns.
That was bad, bro.
What were the Seahawks doing? They looked like they didn't care about the game. They look unprepared. The Rams had they didn't even have a quarterback who could like grip the ball. Jared Goff couldn't even hold the football because he just had thumb surgery.
They put up 30 points on a team that was first started a backup quarterback, was barely played in the NFL, and then substituted him with a backup quarterback with a broken thumb. How do you give up 30 points in the playoffs?
I think guys need to stop talking shit, because you know what Jared Goff said? He saw Jamal Adams smoking the cigar and it motivated them. Guys, NFL guys just need to stop talking shit.
Jamal Adams talks too much. Juju talks too much.
Juju talks way too much. Adam, you had to feel a little good about Jamal Adams losing that game.
You know what? I'm just so over it at this point.
You didn't feel a little bit like, no, yeah, like just, fuck that guy?
I mean, whatever. Jamal has said some clown-ass shit over the years, just as Juju has said clown-ass shit. So I'm just so over it. But I think the most surprising win of the weekend, yeah, 1,000,000% the Rams doing that, because they've been brutal.
Well, the Browns were more so taking the Browns.
No, I'm not. Even though the point spread was the second biggest, and with the situation, the fact that
I don't think it's a surprise that both big upsets were division games, though, because like we said last week, division games, you just know those teams more.
I'm saying it's a bigger surprise because the Rams put up so many points.
Yeah,
with the quarterback situation. And the Browns, it's surprising because of obviously the lack of practice and the coaching. I thought that would be, you know, just completely stymie them. But in the grand scheme of things, it's surprising to me that many points were scored in Seattle by the Rams, where they have not performed well for the last, like 7 or 8 seasons.
Russell Wilson threw his first interception ever in a wild card game.
And that was Pete Carroll's first home loss in the playoffs. So.
Yeah.
That's why, to me, that's the most surprising result of the weekend.
Young Zion's already saying Russell Wilson should get traded to the Giants.
Hey, we'll take Russell. We'll take Deshaun. We'll take Russell. But I think the Browns, although, like, we kid and we like to troll you and get you angry and red in the face, the Browns are a good team. Like, they're good. So, like, it wasn't a surprise to me that they were competing with the Steelers.
I mean,
like,
we had all been calling the Steelers frauds for about a month now.
Yeah,
so
we've been calling the Steelers frauds when they were 11-0. So, like,
you just thought that the flip would – I thought they had a switch that they could flip. Yeah, and it just wasn't there.
Well, Mike Tomlin, in my opinion, is a little overrated, and I would much rather watch the
Steelers
Browns.
Fans are not happy. I've seen Steelers fans going in on Tomlin.
They shouldn't be
saying Ben retire. They don't want Juju back.
Yeah,
they're also
in cap hell. They have like a million. They have 18 free agents. Yeah, it's like they're a disaster. But I'd rather watch the Browns right now than the Steelers. So I'm fine with them.
Thank you. The other big NFL news going on, Zion touched on it. The Deshaun Watson stuff is nuts. I don't know how closely you guys paid attention to this, but Deshaun Watson was approached by the ownership in around Thanksgiving and was like, I just want to be involved in the GM coach search. And they're like, okay. So he gave his thoughts, and then they not only ignored him, they didn't tell him that they were hiring the new GM, and then they didn't request the interview with the coach that he wanted. And now he might get traded. That is insane to me.
Free him.
Like, what are the Texans doing?
The Texans are doing Texans things, what they've been doing.
Well, we all thought it was Bill O'Brien. I guess it goes way beyond Bill O'Brien because they're still doing it.
It's always from the top down.
It is.
Every organization, it's always from the top down. And I can name two New York sports teams that will be prime examples of that, but it starts from the top down.
One of those teams is over 500 on the season, I think, Adam.
They're coming crashing down. Okay.
Never mind.
It's been a sudden turn the past couple of games.
So what? If you guys were the Dolphins, would you trade Tua in the third overall pick for Deshaun Watson?
If you could get Deshaun Watson,
yes, 100%. Yeah. Did you see on Twitter though? There were Vikings fans. I think Bomani Jones posted. So shout out to Bomani, but someone hit him up when he made a comment about Deshaun Watson. He was like, he was a Vikings fan. He's like, what about Kirk Cousins and a first round draft pick for Deshaun Watson? And Bomani was like, some of you people have absolutely no idea what valuation is about.
No,
yes,
that's crazy. That's a terrible.
But there's actual people that felt that was a legitimate. Like, and there was people in the thread. I went through the thread who were like, oh no, that kind of makes sense. I can see the Vikings doing that.
Here's what you always have to keep in mind: NFL teams do dumb shit all the time. So that's why people don't know.
Well, there's that baseball rule. There's always one dumb owner, but it also applies to NBA because there are multiple dumb owners. It applies to the NFL because there are multiple dumb owners. So there's always one dumb owner out there that'll do some crazy shit.
We just saw DeAndre Hopkins get traded for not a first round pick. Like these teams are going
to. And how bad is the Laremy Tunsil acquisition now?
Well, that's why they should try and get that third pick back.
100%. It's crazy. They're going to literally trade them the pick back.
Remember the movie Draft Day? I don't know if you guys saw it, but Kevin Costner.
That was Cleveland Browns propaganda. So I did not watch that movie.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't realistic. But he traded all his picks, and then he traded back for him at the end of the draft. So the Texans are like trying to do that in real life.
Pretty much.
It's just nuts that Deshaun is getting this disrespected by an organization.
But if you're an organization that needs a quarterback, you should 1,000%. Give
every
Texans
team
whatever
should be
they
trying
want.
To get Deshaun Watson. Every team.
He's a top five quarterback.
If the Giants somehow get Deshaun Watson, this is over for you guys.
I mean,
just know that it's over.
I don't think you guys have enough. I don't know how a team could compete with the Dolphins' offer, though.
Yeah, if the Dolphins don't want him, that's the only thing. If the Dolphins don't want him, then
I would take him over Tua. The only argument against it is that obviously when you have a rookie quarterback who performs, you have money that you can save and use other pieces. So that's the only. And also, I saw some like idiots talk about like it would be smarter for Jacksonville to trade the number one pick for like a veteran quarterback, which was the most lunatic shit I've seen. Also,
the whole argument is why would you trade for or when you draft a guy, you're hoping that they could be good as Deshaun Watson, you know?
Or you're hoping they could be good enough in 4 or 5 years while you have a rookie contract to go after a Super Bowl to pay high-end guys, other stuff.
Based on what I read and what Schefter and everyone was reporting, it seems like this is going to get ugly before it gets good. I can't believe that he asked them. He was like, can you guys please just request an interview with Eric Bieniemy? An interview. He didn't say hire him or anything. And they didn't even do it. I don't know if they refused or what, but they just didn't listen to him. Like,
also, real quick, why is Houston sports the most toxic environment in the history of mankind? Cheating Astros, James Harden's bullshit, and now you're running a franchise quarterback, one of the five best quarterbacks in the game, out of town with your nonsense. Like, what is in the water in Houston?
And it's all like started like recently. It's not like they're historically like a dysfunctional sports city. It's like all like recently. And did I tell you guys I'm a Mets fan now, though? Did we talk about that yet?
Don't care.
Okay, I am a Mets fan.
Don't care until you pay off your bet.
Yeah, okay.
Talk about baseball until you pay off your bet.
Okay, good to know.
But at two Yankee fans in here, I will say this, though, Young Zion. I'm not mad the Mets got Francisco Lindor because it's more fun to me in baseball season when the Mets are relevant and playing like playoff caliber.
I just don't care what they do. They're still not going to be better than us.
Wait till we sign DJ LeMahieu. And then
who is we, pal?
Yeah, stop
who
that.
Who is we?
Stop that.
I'm a Mets fan.
The Mets can't sign DJ LeMahieu. They don't have the money.
Have you seen Steve Cohen's pockets, buddy?
They're not going over the luxury tax threshold, so it's not happening.
If the Yankees do lose DJ LeMahieu, Brian Cashman, we will be coming for you.
There will be if
Zion Storm.
No, he's 100% right.
Zion Storm in the Capitol, which is the Yankee Stadium.
He and a million other Yankees fans, because they will be apoplectic if the Yankees let LeMahieu go. Do you know how many white Yankees fans are like putting all their hopes and dreams behind LeMahieu right now?
They're all on travel bans from the Capitol. Right.
There was some FDNY and NYPD allegedly down there, so there's some crossover.
That's not a surprise, I don't think. It was a good football weekend, boys. We got to talk about this because Adam didn't watch it. But Zion, the Nickelodeon game was awesome.
Oh, I told y'all.
We're remiss if we don't talk about it. The Nickelodeon game was so damn fun. I loved it.
I told y'all I wasn't going to watch that game on CBS 100% because it's going to be boring. And Nickelodeon took it to another level.
It was so much fun. Nate Burleson and Noah Eagle, and I'm forgetting the girl, the Nickelodeon star's name, Gabrielle.
Yeah, Gabrielle Green.
Yeah, they did such a phenomenal job on the broadcast.
Are you wearing the hoodie that they that the NFL
Yeah,
sent
I'm
you
wearing
that
the
hoodie?
SpongeBob NFL hoodie. Yeah,
okay.
That they sent me.
Shout out to
Big Raj for sending it through. So it was phenomenal. The NFL went above and beyond with that. Like, it was great. It's crazy how much Noah Eagle sounds exactly like his dad. Like, they sound exactly alike.
Exactly the same. They talk the same way. Like, it's just, it's going to be good to have him take over when that ain't goes down.
Right? Yeah, he's just going to take over at some point. No, but that was phenomenal. Do we need to talk about your Nets before we go to the Stephen A. interview from Zion? The
Nets, it's an early season.
Why are your Nets only 3-5 with Kevin Durant in the lineup?
They're 3-5 with Kevin Durant in the lineup because every game, number one, Steve Nash is doing a horrible job. Coach.
He already want to fire Steve
already
Nash.
Revolting against
I'm
the
not
coach.
Saying you fire. I'm just telling you he's doing a very bad job.
Zion, I will
he
say
he doesn't
this.
Call timeouts. He doesn't know how to – the defense is not – Jacques Vaughn is not coaching the defense. They're not defending. But you got to realize it's early and every game is different lineup. Like first game, two games we had Dinwiddie. The next game we didn't have Kyrie or KD. And now we're not playing without Kyrie. We're playing without Kyrie for a whole week. We just got back KD. Like it's going to be up and down. So
listen, man, if you want to jump on the Knicks bandwagon, do it now.
Yeah, is this a David Blatt situation? Is this where Ty Lue was in the waiting and then D'Antoni takes
who's
over?
In the waiting? Oh, D'Antoni.
So D'Antoni, I think, is the Ty Lue in this situation.
No, Jacques Vaughn would be.
It would be Jacques Vaughn over D'Antoni?
He's like the lead assistant, yeah.
I can guarantee you Jacques Vaughn is not going anywhere near that whole head coaching position. The defense is the worst defense I've ever seen for a
I think it would be D'Antoni that would get it. We're getting up
Jacques
out
Vaughn
of ourselves.
Getting,
I do
Jacques
not
Vaughn
think
is
Steve
getting
Nash,
paid more money than Mike D'Antoni.
I don't think Steve Nash is getting fired, but it is fun to talk about when you have two high-profile assistants on your staff.
But they'll figure out it's early.
I mean, the NBA needs to figure something out. I don't know if they need to take notes from the NFL on how to run a season.
Taking
in the pandemic
notes.
Or what.
You guys were running out people.
Why'd you say you guys? I don't work for them.
You send out their propaganda and eat it up like you're watching Fox News or North Korean television, pal. Okay.
Call Roger Goodell Big Raj.
Shout out Big Raj.
That guy is anti-black, and you ruined for him.
You should be the Newsmax NFL correspondent at this rate, pal.
But speaking to the Nets, our Stephen A. Smith interview. He talks about Kyrie and the Nets.
Yeah, but real quick before we get into that, shout out to UConn for re-entering the top 25 rankings for the first time in 5 years. Feels good to be back where we belong.
When we say we don't care, this is like a legitimate top.
Yeah, this is like
the
top of the tops. We don't care.
Yeah, like we do not care.
Do you see how incredibly unbothered I am by that?
I didn't even know college basketball was still happening.
We don't care if you're unbothered. I'm telling you, and the audience is telling you that we do not care.
Okay, you know what I also don't care about, pal? Your birthday on Tuesday.
Wow,
that is kind of foul. Let's go now
to the Stephen A. Smith interview. Let's
wow,
go.
That's terrible. Wow, what a terrible person.
All right, right before we get to the Stephen A. Smith interview, want to let you guys know, let us know in your review, leave us a review on Apple, 5-star review, and let us know what you guys want to hear from the pod, your favorite guests, who you guys want to hear on the pod, guests you guys want to have on, let us know because it helps us, let us know what you guys want. And that's what's most important to us. So make sure you're subscribed to the pod, hit that subscribe button, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen, and leave those reviews and leave us information about what you want out of the podcast and guests and everything. Also, make sure you call in to be featured on the pod, like our guy at the top of the episode. You know, we love featuring these. We love talking to you guys. 212-906-4495, 212-906-4495. Call into the pod. Leave us your thoughts, your hot takes, all that. We love hearing from you guys. It's a lot of fun. So let's get to our Stephen A. Smith interview. Great interview, great conversation. He's a legend, big guest for us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Stephen A., welcome to the pod. We said, hardest working man in sports. You have a new show coming. Stephen A.'s World. Like, you're not stopping. You're keeping it going. You're not slowing down at all. ESPN Plus, dropping January 11th. What about this show? What are we going to see differently from what we see on you on other things?
I'm just going to make a concerted effort to have as much fun as I possibly can. You know, usually when you're debating hard, you're going at it, you're butting heads with people every single day. Obviously, that's been something that I've been relatively successful at. And, you know, just doing that has been a big deal. But I've been a reporter for 25 years. So you had a serious approach to those things, really, generating news, talking about the news. And then after that, you get into the debate format when Skip Bayless asked me to come on in 2012. So I did that. And we've been fortunate and blessed to take that to another level. And the show's been number one in the mornings for ESPN for 7+ years. So I'm very, very proud of that. But I have a desire to show my hosting chops. I have a desire to be a bit more lighthearted, have a good time, and more importantly, to at least provide something with somewhat of a late night feel. I'm still going to, it's still the ESPN letters that precede that plus symbol. And you got to deliver the audience what they expect, which is sports. And so there are going to be some things that are obviously very, very similar. But in the end, for me to have a good time, to bring guests on and for them to have a good time, to celebrate them and what they do and what they bring to the table, and have sort of that late night feel to it where we're just having fun and you know that you're coming in there to have a good time. That's really what it's all about. And I'm going to try, there'll be different twists here and there. The Love Doctor segment that I used to do on my radio show, the baby Stephen A that people laugh about as my alter ego and all of that other stuff. You'll see things like that implemented into the show. But essentially, again, it's about me being a little bit more lighthearted because God knows that I'm always just focused and on my grind with the other things that I do. And so Disney Plus has 86.5 million subscribers in its first year, but ESPN Plus only had 11.5. So they came to me asking me to embrace the challenge of really helping elevated subscribership and profile and elevating the profile of ESPN Plus. And that's what I'm going to do.
So we're going to get plenty of relationship advice.
That too. But you know what? It's relationship advice. But first of all, let me be very clear, because it's very important that I say this. It's not my idea. I completely stole it from my all-time favorite comedian, Martin Lawrence. I loved the show, Martin.
Yep.
And if you remember, if you go back and watch the series, there was an episode in there where he called himself the Love Doctor because, you know what, he brought a couple together and it worked when he was trying to start. Ironically, it was when he was trying to jumpstart his career in television because he had been doing radio and then he was looking and he got hired as an associate producer by this woman there. And then he came on and by accident, because somebody didn't show up, he had to host the television show. And so when he hosted the television show, he was trying to bring them together. And, hold on, you got to be friends first and all of this other stuff. And everybody started gravitating to what he said. So they called him the Love Doctor. And the segment was hilarious because it ended with him finding out that Pam and Tommy, his best friend, Tommy, was dating his nemesis, Pam, and stuff like that, which was played by Tashina Arnold. So it's nothing new. What happened was I brought it on a radio show one day, and people loved it.
Yeah.
ESPN wanted to make a segment out of it. It was crazy.
It should have. I mean, great radio. It was awesome.
And then people started literally calling in for real advice. And I'm like, look, man, I'm single. And I mean, what the hell are you asking me for advice for? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, they kept calling and asking and people would talk about the great advice. And then you're going in and women are like, I heard that you give great advice. I'm like, what? This is crazy. Okay. All right. If that's what y'all like, as long as you understand, I ain't talking about myself. As long as you understand that, we good.
We have a hypothetical for you.
Well, no, real quick, yes. Dan, before we go in there. Stephen A., you said you want to have fun, but the internet thinks you have the most fun in the world because you go viral every single day with your clips, Stephen.
This is the thing. I don't pay attention to it. You know, obviously ESPN has a social media department and then they take clips from First Take or SportsCenter, wherever else I am, and they put it, you know, on social media and it blows up. The only thing I do intentionally is troll Cowboys fans. That's it. Now, that's me. That's nobody but me. I mean, that's nobody but me. I mean, I'm looking forward when they lose. I'm just looking forward to it. What can I do to get on their nerves and torture those Cowboy fans today? So that's me. But the other stuff, man, I just do what I do. And 99% of the time, people tell me about the memes. I have no clue. I have no idea that it's resonating like that. And I'm getting millions of views and engagements and stuff. I had no idea, man. They tell me that stuff. I don't pay attention to that.
So, Stephen A., I got to ask you, since you said that.
Yeah, man.
There's a famous Stephen A. burner account out there doing a lot of, you know, republishing a lot of your viral videos. Mm-hmm. Number one, have you seen it? Or do you appreciate it?
I only saw
it
one time.
Oh, you
saw I only saw it one time. I understand that who I am and the world that we live in, people are going to use whatever they can to capitalize off of things. And who am I to say something about it? You see the way that I troll with Cowboys fans. Mm-hmm. If I didn't think it was going to be effective, I wouldn't do it. And so I can't sit up there and knock on anybody. As long as everyone knows it's a burner account, it ain't me.
Yeah,
I don't particularly care. I don't hate on anybody for doing what they do. I just won't participate in it because I don't want anybody to believe, you know, that burner account speaks for me. I speak for me.
Yeah.
But they can do what they want as long as folks know it's not me. I'm cool.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So, Adam, did you want to bring up the hypothetical?
Well, no, we'll save the Dr. Love hypothetical for the end of the podcast. So,
I have a very good one to drop.
So
you didn't even know Martin. Stop acting like you knew Martin, Adam.
I've seen Martin, okay? I've seen it. Don't worry about it.
Stephen A., our young friend Zion here is also a Nets fan. You see he has a Nets hat on. What is going on with Kyrie?
I have no idea, man. I really, really don't. I would love to tell you, you know, but I have no clue, man. That dude, he's something else because he's just on another plane sometimes. And it's like, listen, personally, I love the guy. I think that, you know, I meant what I said on First Take a few weeks ago when I said he was coming across as a bit snobbish and, you know, and talking about the media the way that he was. I didn't think it was necessary. And I personally don't believe he's been victimized by the media. When he was in Cleveland, you know, it was people, you know, wondering about whether or not he and LeBron will coexist. But the bottom line is they want a chip. We knew about the greatness of Kyrie Irving. He's a superstar talent, got the greatest handle in the game of basketball, one of the greatest handles ever. The brother's skill is off the charts. He's an incredible, incredible basketball player. We all know that. But he left Cleveland and went to Boston. That didn't work out. He went from Boston to Brooklyn and only played 20 games. And so when you look at it, you know, now he's taken off for personal reasons and the aftermath of what happened at the Capitol. We don't know whether that happened, that had anything to do with it, if there's other personal issues. But based on how he talks and where his mind frame is at, he appears to think that he's at a higher plane and a higher level than most. And my philosophy is simple. If that is indeed the case, why not uplift folks to make sure that they're on the same level as you, as opposed to looking down? That would be me. But having said all of that, he's a great, great asset to the NBA brand. I love watching him play. And more importantly than anything, I don't think, excuse me, I was receiving a phone call. I think he's a good dude. I really think he's a good dude whose heart's in the right place. And he does a lot of positive things for the community that don't get mentioned nearly as much as it should.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, we need, you know, even though he can get on our nerves sometimes with some of the stuff, I think we need to pay more attention to all the good that he does because he does a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, no, he just announced, I think he's paying for scholarships for kids. Like he was talking about the pipeline up in North Dakota before anybody was type thing. So, you know, mm-hmm. You're definitely right. He definitely does a lot of good. And it, you know, he's messed up sometimes, but you know, it's,
if you really think about it, he hasn't really messed up. I mean, he's messed up in terms of, okay, had you tweaked this here or there, y'all might have won.
Yeah.
You know, but in terms of his behavior, I mean, when is he sat up there been insubordinate? When has he been somebody that has been a disruptive human being or somebody that's not tried to be an asset to society?
Yeah.
He's not that guy. He's a really, really good guy. He doesn't like me too much right now after what I said about him. But that's life. That's what comes with it. I don't care. You know, I get paid to talk about them. I don't get paid to talk to them. So, and I don't think people realize that enough. I really don't have to talk to folks. you know, because I'm asked to give my thoughts and opinions. My days of reporting where I have to communicate with everybody every day, that has long been gone. I do it because I'm a professional. I do it because I try to be a decent human being and be respectful. And if I'm going to talk about you, the least I can do is talk to you if that's something that you allow me to do. But if it's something that you refrain from doing, that's your business. It's not going to stop me from being fair. And it's not going to stop me from pointing out that there's a whole lot more good about Kyrie Irving than there is bad.
So is he one of the most misunderstood guys in the NBA, if not all pro sports right now?
He is too busy trying to make people see the things that he wants them to see as it pertains to whatever issue is really in his heart. They're really focusing on using himself as a conduit to uplift other people by highlighting who he is and what he brings to the table. And I think that when you look at a lot of these guys, this is the what success and money can do to you, particularly when you're young, is something we gloss over. People think that, all right, it'll get you in trouble and all of that other stuff. Nah, there's a lot of guys, no matter what, because of their mama, because of their inner circle, because of their upbringing, they're going to still act right. They're not going to engage in lawlessness and get themselves in trouble. But here's where they can mess up when they're young and rich and famous. They think they know everything. Mm-hmm. You can't tell them anything. You understand? And that's where it becomes problematic. And when you're older and wiser, you always recognize there's something you can learn. And you recognize you can learn it from anybody. I've accomplished a lot of things in my career. I'd say I'm pretty damn successful.
Yeah.
Been blessed. I've been blessed with the success. I'm on the air with you guys right now. I can learn from y'all. I can learn from the people that I have to talk to later. I can learn from somebody on the streets. I can learn from elder statesmen that have experienced things that I've yet to experience in my lifetime. You can always learn from somebody. And the fact that my success came to me a lot later in life than some of these players, I think definitely helps me have the balance that I have, because I've been there, I've seen it, and there's a lot more that I'm going to see. But I've always prided myself. I think one of the gifts I've always had is that I always use this line when I give speeches. I'm brilliant because I know I'm not. I listen to those who are and I learn from them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just wish that when it came to some of these guys, they had the same mentality.
It makes a lot of sense. The other New York basketball team, are the Knicks back, Stephen A?
Back from what? They ain't won since 1973.
Yeah, back from being they're at least they don't look like a joke anymore. At least
I think in that regard, I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing. Tom Thibodeau is doing an exceptional job, him and his coaching staff. But you know one thing about Tom Thibodeau that people ignore, and we ignore it because we ignore folks' personal life to some degree, as we should, because it's their business. As long as they ain't breaking any laws, what people do with their private life is none of my business. But Tom Thibodeau lives, eats, and breathes basketball. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's married. I don't know if he has any children. I don't know anything about him. All he cares about, it seems, is basketball.
Yeah,
he's just that fixated on it all. And so when you look at it from that perspective and you see that, I think it's important to recognize that that's exactly what the Knicks need. They don't have a star. They don't have a go-to guy. But they do have athletes. They do have youngsters on their squad. And if you're trying to build a culture, which is Leon Rose, Worldwide West, William Wesley, Scott Perry, the GM, if you're trying to do what they're trying to do, then you need guys who are going to go out there, compete, not be scared of anything, and play some damn defense. Because at the very least, that's going to keep them in a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, you could end up being a 500 basketball team. And if you're a 500 basketball team in the Eastern Conference, you could end up making the playoffs. And if you do that, we're going to give the Knicks a standing ovation, because compared to what we've seen from them in recent memory, I mean, that's a miracle.
They've been terrible.
Whereas with the Brooklyn Nets, you don't make the finals, the season's a disappointment. But if you're the Knicks, you make the playoffs. What happens?
Really? Wait, finals are disappointment for the Nets? That's what it is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You have Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant is healthy and Kyrie Irving is healthy, and Caris LeVert is healthy, ain't no excuse not to get to the finals.
Yeah, don't be making excuses for your squad, Young Zion, already.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying it's gotten a little bit tougher because we don't have Dinwiddie now, and now we're still searching for that person to fill that role. I do understand that we should still kind of win the East. But
when is the playoffs?
long from now, in April.
It's in June. It's in June. Yeah, playoffs in June and July this year.
Yeah,
it's when the Eastern Conference finals
start. Late May through June, early July. You know, early to mid July. That's the NBA playoffs. I can't hope that you'll get it together 6 months from then, 5 months from then.
I understand.
Come on, man.
But there are teams in the East that will put up fights. The Sixers,
Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston. Yeah.
Those are good teams.
Yeah.
Those are good teams.
Yeah. But who has Kevin Durant?
The Nets.
We do.
You got KD, man. You're talking about a healthy KD is one of the top two players on the planet.
Yeah. 100%.
You understand that?
100%.
Okay. So what's the problem?
It just doesn't work like that sometimes.
I think he's scared. Okay, Steve, exactly. You don't. Nets fans are a little scared. They haven't had expectations ever. They're scared.
Well, you go ahead and be scared. But you in Brooklyn. That don't work in Brooklyn.
Also, please explain.
That
Stephen
don't work
a.
in Brooklyn. Please, you can do that in Indy. You can do that in Utah. That don't work in Brooklyn.
And please explain.
Don't hear that.
Please explain to young Zion how New York will always and forever be a Knicks town.
It doesn't matter though.
You know what? Listen, you can say that. And to some degree, that's true. But being a native New Yorker, born in the Bronx, raised in Queens, in Hollis, Queens, I will tell you this. Those boroughs mean something to New York. Mm-hmm. And so if they were in Nassau County, like, you know how the Islanders are out there in Nassau, but the Rangers are at Madison Square Garden. Yeah, that's different. You know, that, you know, it's Rangers town. You see what I'm saying? But when you're talking basketball, you're talking about a team in Brooklyn. Oh no, they can gain some traction. Mm-hmm. They can definitely
gain
traction.
Some traction.
They can definitely 100%. They can make some noise.
You got to win,
especially if the Knicks. Well, I understand that, but especially if the New York Knicks suck.
Yeah, but you also know too, the only team in New York that unifies the entire city when it's on a run is the Knicks. Everyone
stop right
back
there.
In the
house. Stop. Yankees?
Yes.
Stop.
No, they, no. You know what I mean? Mets fans are out there, young Zion.
Hello. Stop. Because of one sentence you just said.
What's that?
If they win.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair. All right, I'm saying.
If they win.
But since you and I are older.
Yo, bro, I had an afro the last time. Okay. I mean, the New York Knicks, last time they were in the finals was 99. And we all knew they weren't going to beat the Spurs because Ewing went down.
Yeah.
Larry Johnson and Sprewell and those boys, they weren't going to beat Tim Duncan and David Robinson. So, I mean, I'm just saying the fact of the matter is that you are right. If the New York Knicks was on Brooklyn's level, then it would not compare to the Knicks. The problem is they're oceans apart right now.
Mm-hmm.
No. And that's where your problem lies.
100%.
Not to twist gears too much here, but I'm curious your thoughts on the Deshaun Watson thing and him being extremely upset with the Houston Texans management.
Justified
because they told him that they were going to talk to him about the GM hire, and then they ended up not taking
it. Not just that. He's the superstar for your team.
Yeah.
You didn't just get rid of his number one weapon. You got rid of one of the elite weapons in all of football in DeAndre Hopkins. And, oh, by the way, that happened to be his boy. They went to Clemson together.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, they're alumni members for Clemson University. I mean, these brothers got a relationship. And you just disregard that, and you send them off to Arizona? Okay, so when you look at it from that standpoint, I said on First Take this morning, I'll say it again. When you are a star, you might not be management. You may not have control. But whether or not management looks good depends a lot on you.
Mm-hmm.
By virtue of that reality, you have say. And when management is more interested in flexing its muscle and showing who's boss, rather than making it a priority to assuage your concerns, it can disincentivize you to perform to a peak level. Now, you ain't going to throw games on purpose. You ain't going to play like garbage on purpose or anything like that. But mood matters. Think about what y'all are doing. Something just like you're doing your podcast right now. If none of y'all wanted to be here, how good would it be?
Not very good.
You can't do that to people. And I tell management that stuff all the time. And And it's interesting for me because now I'm in a different position.
Yeah.
Because not only am I hosting my new show, Stephen A's World, I'm the executive producer.
Exactly.
And my production company, Mr. SAS Productions, is co-producing it with ESPN.
Yeah.
And so when you look at it from that perspective, I'm essentially the boss.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I got bosses at ESPN to answer to.
Yeah.
But this is truly, truly my show.
You're ingrained in it. Yeah.
That's right. I'm a boss.
Yeah.
You know, I want you going, you're gone.
Yeah.
I want you there, you ain't going to be there. You know? So understand there's a lot of responsibilities that falls on my shoulders. I just happen to be the talent as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not happy and I'm miserable, yeah, I got contractual obligations to fill. I got to show up. I got to perform. And the pride inside of me is going to try to maximize whatever potential that I have. But if I'm miserable, you don't think anything's going to get in the way? And that's what management has to get with Deshaun Watson. You can't do that to that guy. You can. J.J. Watt wants out. Think about what kind of man that dude has been for that franchise.
Yeah, if he wants out, then it's like...
Guys, he's looking to get out of there. Mm. I think he's looking to get out of there. Why? Because he's tired of losing.
Yeah.
And so you got to pay attention to what these guys want, and you got to treat them like they matter. Like in James Harden's case, Houston has a legitimate argument against James Harden. As much as I root for him and as much as I want him in Brooklyn, actually, with KD and Kyrie, which I don't think is going to happen. Here's what the thing is about James Harden. James Harden wanted Dwight Howard. Then he didn't want him. James Harden wanted CP3.
Then he didn't want him.
Then he didn't want him. James Harden wanted Russell Westbrook.
And
then he didn't want him.
Yeah.
So the organization is able to say, we gave you what you asked for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they can make an argument to push back at him because there's no championship to show for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Deshaun Watson has not been afforded that luxury.
Yeah.
And you can't do that to him. That's not right.
Yeah.
That's just not right.
Real quick, before we get you out of here and we get to Adam's relationship question.
Mm-hmm.
So you are the executive producer of the show. You have your production company. You're getting more into the entertainment side. If someone was to play you in a movie about your life, who would you have play you?
God, I don't know the answer to that question. I guess, you know, about my, if they were trying to imitate me and make fun of me, I would say Jamie Foxx, because his Cleveland A. Smith skit is hilarious. I would say him for that. But if they were like addressing my life on a very, very serious level, I would say somebody like a Michael B. Jordan.
Oh,
yep. I would say a Michael Ealy.
Okay.
I would definitely say Jamie, because I think that he's probably the most talented dude in Hollywood.
His Tyson movie is going to be amazing. You can already,
yeah, it is.
You already it's know phenomenal. it's gonna be
good. I already know.
Yeah,
I already know. So you got that. You got that going on. Yeah, those three really stand out: Michael B. Jordan, Michael Ealy, Jamie Foxx.
We need the film. It needs to happen. We need the.
I don't think I'm worthy of it. Personally.
Oh, you're being modest. You are being modest.
Not a movie, no. I don't think so. Maybe a 30 for 30 or something, but not a movie.
There'll be a documentary.
But I would tell you that it's crazy. These are crazy times. Ain't no question about it. The opportunities that have come my way, I've been very, very blessed. But I got to make it happen. You know, I remember years ago, I had the pleasure of talking with Denzel Washington, and he gave me advice that I knew epitomized my approach to work every day, and I've never forgotten it. And I asked him, he had called me to my radio show one time, and I asked him, what's the best film he's ever done?
Mm-hmm.
He said, the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the celebration of the work is for you all, the viewers, those folks, the fans. He said, for me, it's about the work. It's about putting my head down, working at my craft, and doing what I can to master the art of what I do on a day in, day out basis. that's my job. That's what he said. And I never forgot that because that's truly the approach I always had. I just didn't know if it was the right one, but I've always been about, I've never been about, oh, you know what? I've accomplished this. Let me smell the roses. This is what I've done. I'm not that guy because I have work to do tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And what does it mean? You know, when, you know, and that's why I got a great boss in Dave Roberts, who's tyrannical about winning. and his whole thing is, you know, I did something great that he might call me at that immediate moment if he's got something to compliment me for. Within an hour or two, he's talking to me about the next day. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. And that's how I approach my daily grind.
Amazing, amazing.
All right, you got the love doctor question.
Yeah, I mean, do you want
to? Let's do the love
doctor. You got 2 minutes?
Go ahead.
All right, real hypothetical. If someone's hollering at you via Twitter or other social media channels, how do you take that potential courtship from digital world to in real life during a pandemic?
Oh my god!
And say this person hypothetically called into
That's not a love doctor question.
Yeah, let me ask you a better question.
That is not a love doctor question, but I'll answer it for you anyway. But listen, you if they hollering at you and you know you take it into the real world, you got to pay attention to what's worthy of being taken into the real world. Hmm. You know, because social media tells you a lot about what folks are paying attention to. You can use words like algorithms and things of that nature. You can study it all you want to, but in the end, you have an idea what's resonating with folks. So you got to make sure you're giving them what they want. Now you can squeeze in innovative things to sort of gauge the landscape to some degree to see how receptive they are to new things that you do. But you never ever appeal to the masses by ignoring what they want. You got too many people that want to do what we do in this business. And what they're paying attention to is what everybody else is doing or what they're passionate about. But you have to locate what somebody else's passion is. And based on that is what you have to do. You don't wake up in the morning and do a podcast to talk about soccer. As popular as soccer is worldwide, in America, it's the National Football League. Mm-hmm. It's the National Basketball Association. Mm-hmm. You lead your show or your podcast with soccer outside of the avid soccer fan. You ain't going to have anybody listening to what the hell you're talking about.
That's facts.
Yep. Factual.
It's facts.
Right.
Great advice. Thank you, Stephen A. Yes.
All right. Y'all take it easy, okay?
Thank you so much.
Huge shout to Stephen A. Smith. Guys, that's like a bucket list guest. I know that's on Zion's list of like top 5 guests to get on this podcast. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, me and Adam have, you know, talked to Stephen A. before. It was a little flex, you know.
A little flex, okay. I mean, Adam worked for him.
He was my boss, yeah. My first job out of college was working as a researcher on his old talk show, quite frankly.
And I don't think he remembered.
He does not. No, it's fine. It's been a long time. completely fine.
It's crazy because I was waiting for one of y'all to ask him if he remembers Adam.
It would have got real. There would have been a long silence, and we got very weird.
I look and dress very differently than I did when I was fresh out of college working for Stephen A. and helping him and two other guys, Sanford and Ethan, wherever they are. I think Sanford's working for MLB Network. But anyway, helping him get ready for each show. And it sounds like the new show that he's doing on ESPN Plus is kind of going to be a little updated version of Quite Frankly with some additional stuff thrown in, including the love doctor relationship advice stuff, which should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Adam fumbled that question at the end. I should have let me ask. I would have asked Stephen A. how can I get a quarantine date or wife in the next year? You know, Stephen A. would have helped me with that, but it's a missed opportunity.
Zion, you're just going to have to call into the ESPN Plus show, Stephen A.'s World, which it debuted. It's out. So congrats to Stephen A. again on that. Like I said, bucket list guest. He's one of the easily the most entertaining person. Zion, I love you asking about the burner account and everything.
The burner himself will be looking forward to that little sound right there.
Yeah, no.
Approximately how many times, young Zion, have you memed Stephen A. over the years?
Oh, that's
good. I've honestly stopped.
Over under 100.
I used to do it a lot.
Yeah, you did like every day.
But I don't do it anymore that much.
Because the thing is, he's memed so much.
I was doing it before this burner account came out, to be honest. And then when it came out, it just became kind of like, when I do it, people will be like, you're stealing, you're copying the burner account. Like, bro, I've been doing this. So I just stopped now, but probably over 100 times.
It's got to be. It might be more than that, dog.
Yeah, you were doing it a ton, pal.
I mean, I don't blame you.
But you did it well.
I don't blame you. The only thing I forgot to ask him was to unblock me on Twitter, so I fucked up.
Oh, sad.
So I'm going to keep missing out on all this content, all this great content. But yeah, another great episode, fellas. We'll be back Thursday with our picks for divisional round of the NFL playoffs. I
enjoy your couple of days, my friend.
Oh, I'm going to enjoy this. I am going to enjoy this so much.
Maybe we should bring CJ back on for a third time.
Let's bring CJ back on. CJ's having a great time. Maybe the NBA will get shut down for like 2 weeks. CJ will have plenty of time.
It's trending in that direction right now as we tape this podcast and more games get canceled. So
no, I mean, just like I said with the NFL, money talks. I highly doubt they stop. But that's a discussion for another day. We will be back Thursday with our picks and everything. Make sure you guys call in. Leave your voicemails, any hot takes, questions, anything. 212-906-4495. We'd love to hear from you guys. Until next time, we'll see you guys later. And as always, a special thanks to our producers, Josh Dodd and Jasmine Plata, our audio editor, Misha Jones, our production manager, Sean Sel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart, our general manager, Donnie Kwok. This is a production of Complex Networks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.